gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Welcome to Pod of No Return, an in-depth, sometimes humorous, behind-the-scenes tour of real life and a Broadway show with your hosts, Greg Mills and Jeremy Stoll.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Pod of No Return with your host, Jeremy Stoll and
Greg Mills. We've never done that before.
All right. That was fun. I think that we should practice our voices that we're going to use on the podcast, Greg.
If you haven't noticed, Jeremy got a new microphone, and so he's doing his big boy voice.
That's right.
It sounds good, Jeremy.
I got an... Ah, thanks, man. I had to become a part of the whatever century we're in. I don't know. My other microphone was just a conch shell. Basically, I was shouting out the window, and hopefully you guys were getting the getting the signal, and it was working.
What have you been up to, man? Other than buying a new microphone, what have you been doing this week?
Oh, God. You know, I am having a bit of a busy time right now. There's some auditions that are happening. And
what?
I know.
Where?
Clearly, I'm very good about making it past the initial, my favorite swipe, my swipe right audition that I call it, where you have to record on your own cell phone and then they get to decide if you're going to come in or not.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah. They're not deciding so much these days. I'm striking out, man.
Hey, man, at least
you're
getting seen.
I've got a lot of... Yeah, I agree. That is a good thing. Not necessarily for things that I'm correct for.
I think you'd be great as Elphaba. Maybe. That's, you know...
Well, you know, I took some lessons.
Elphabro.
I think that maybe possibly... Elphabro. If I can do the green paint. So, I mean... We're in, right? Yeah. What else is there to that role? Okay. Come on.
I'm colorblind, so that's why I can't ever get seen for it.
Now, see, I did go to the Broadway Museum this
week.
Did you
go?
I went. I took the kids. My daughter was begging to go. I don't know what got her mind on the Broadway Museum, but she just started going, Daddy, I want to go. I want to go. And so I had to give in.
Nice.
So we went. I have to tell you, I was pleasantly surprised. Nice. The museum is set up so great. It's three floors, and you go backstage up to the third floor. And while you're walking up there, it says, "All right, 15 minutes to curtain, ladies and gentlemen." It's really kind of a Broadway experience, and they've decorated it like a backstage, and it looks exactly like a backstage. There's calls going on. You go through.
Are there dead roaches and rats that run by?
Well, no, there's no dead mice. So it's not the it's not the Majestic experience, is it? No. But I have to say, I got to give them a solid A on that presentation. It was really cool. At the end, you go backstage as if you're about to go on stage, and then you can take a picture from the stage in different theaters. And there's I would say the Phantom is represented very well in this museum.
Oh, that's good.
And it's quite cool.
That's cool.
Quite cool. I don't know who the Carlotta dress was for, but she is about a 92-pound Carlotta. I don't know what dress that was. I think that maybe there was one really tiny person that they could never outfit again. Like Allie Ewald's.
Yeah, really.
I don't know. It was the smallest Carlotta dress I've ever seen. And then they had to get an even smaller Christine dress next to it. So I'm thinking it was maybe somebody's daughter or somebody's 7-year-old daughter's dress. In the middle, there is the Red Death costume, which is awesome.
Nice.
And that thing looks 11 feet tall.
I wonder whose it was.
I don't know. I want it so bad to
cool.
peel
there,
back
look
the
label
and
yeah.
find out and see their name. I want to do so bad because I know exactly where it's written, but I can't touch it because if I do, they're going to get mad and somebody else is going to touch it and whatever. It was really funny. Also, the last thing about the museum is we were over there by the Phantom display, one of them, and people were going crazy. They were just, they're coming in with costumes on. Some people had masks. They're taking pictures with it. They're talking about how much each of them knew about Phantom, and they're just going down. And I'm standing behind them, and my kids are rolling their eyes in the worst way. And they're just, and I told them, I said, don't you say a thing. Don't you say a thing. Because they were, and they didn't want to either, because once the conversation starts, that's it. We're in the museum for the next 3 hours because they're going to ask every question. Yeah, yeah. So my kids were like tight-lipped, but they were so funny because they were watching it, how fanatical people are about the show. I don't think they really knew until they saw that go down. Yeah.
So you were just there on like
a, what about you, Greg?
You were there on a regular day and
it was regular day,
like crowded, and there were people in costumes and all that stuff, just on a
regular day on a Sunday. Yeah, it was, people came with little masks on and their show shirts that they really like, and
Phantom mask or like Spider-Man each other. Masks,
full Phantom mask.
That would have been cool to have
with the spiders on. Right.
That's awesome.
It was cool. It was cool. It reminded me of what it was like to work on Broadway. It was really fun.
Yeah, right. Oh, the good old days.
The good old days.
I took myself to a baseball game on Sunday. Yeah, Sunday. That's why you were looking at
Sunday.
Yeah, I went and saw the Yankees for a little bit. So that was fun.
I thought you went to a baseball game.
Hey.
Oh.
I went to the stadium and a baseball game broke out. Yeah. It was Harry Potter day there, so I had to go represent the Ravenclaws. So, yeah.
Was it really? Yeah, Harry Potter Day at the Yankee Stadium?
Stuff they gave away.
How funny is that? Is there a lot of crossover for baseball kids?
Huge.
Is it really?
I mean, there was a lot of Harry Potter fans there, that's for sure.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but it was fun.
Speaking of Harry Potter, by the way, do you know that there are Harry Potter inputs for your Siri?
No.
I think it's a Lumos or something where you say, hey Siri, I think it's Lumos. You say, hey Siri, Lumos, and your light will turn on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. And then there's another one like Nexus or however it is to turn it off. And there's a few of them. You can go online and find out how to do it. And Lumios is Joyce is chiming in because Joyce knows right off the bat. She's like,
I thought there was like a setting you could get like Hagrid to be like, you're a wizard, Greg, or whatever. You know what I mean?
Oh, that'd be cool. I think you can do that on your Alexa.
Nice.
You can have your Alexa. You can buy voices for your Alexa.
Alexa.
And if I were to buy a voice, here's a segue for you. If I were to buy a voice for my Alexa, it would be Raquel Suarez Grove.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Gilbert Gottfried. Jeremy Stahl.
But oh my god. It would be Raquel's version of the Carlotta talking to Alexa.
Yeah, do you remember that series? Now, when you mentioned Alexa, more than anything, I remember one person always going, Alexa, as Carlotta. And
Alexa,
who's in the best of previous singers?
Yeah.
I loved it. It was so good. A whole series of it.
Oh, I know. It cracked me up every time. I will scroll through anything, but I would stop on that one every time.
And how lucky are we that
Alexa
has allowed us to take Raquel hostage today.
Yes, that is right. Our special guest for today's episode is Miss Raquel Suarez Grun from Canada.
Okay.
Welcome, Raquel.
Yay!
So,
we don't have sound effects, but that's.
I think that's the next step. We need sound effects. But we'll always use the wrong ones.
Yeah, we could just ask Alexa to play a sound for us.
I have her right here. Alexa, clap for me.
Oh my God! It's not coming through on the microphone, unfortunately.
Okay. Alexa, volume 10.
She does the silent clap.
Oh yes. Not quite the slow clap, but just a steady. Yes.
Alexa, stop. All right.
Amazing. So, do you still have a nice relationship with Alexa, even without the Carlotta?
Absolutely. I think she probably likes me a little bit better now. In fact, there's two of them, so they're competing, one in my bedroom and one in my living room.
They don't think less of you now?
And they control everything.
They don't think less of you now?
I don't know. They probably do. They're like, she's unemployed, so.
I'm sorry, Diva. You are no longer employed by the Phantom. Why are we still doing this voice?
You know, and I auditioned for all these roles as Carlotta for different places, but weirdly enough, nobody wanted to hire me. So they were so good. They were so on, too, yeah. You know?
Oh, I remember when you were doing... Oh, my God. Thank you for reminding me of that. Just for our listeners, if you haven't had the pleasure of watching this, go to Raquel's Instagram.
What's your official account called? Is it
at Quelly 2000? Quelly 2000.
It's so good.
At Quelly 2000 on Instagram, she, as Carlotta, started auditioning for all the different roles on Broadway and movies. They were self-taped. They were so freaking funny. You and was it Rory that was helping you out? Yeah, Rory was helping. Oh, man. It was just, it was with outtakes and with intakes and the good. It was so fun. You put so much effort into that, and it was delightful. Delightful.
The funny part was that all of them were kind of one takes, and they were, like, most of the time I didn't even know the song. So I think that's what made it so ridiculous, because it was just Rory with a camera during intermission. And we'd just be like, okay, let's go. So that's why they're even more of a mess.
Oh, yeah. The less you knew, the better, because you did it with the Carlotta confidence of, like, you're welcome.
Yes. It has been my honor.
Oh, I hope you bought Rory, like, fabulous gifts for, because
I
you,
did.
Like, tortured her in those videos.
I bought her own Alexa.
Oh, nice.
No, I think Rory was the willing participant, man. She was... all about it. In fact, Rory's Instagram account is pretty fantastic because she's a costume designer, and she doesn't just show the costumes. Coney Island Designs is Rory's, and she will present a new costume, but in the most fantastic way. Sometimes on location, which is really cool.
And sometimes she gets really great photographers to take her picture, and that's really cool.
You know, yeah. Only if we knew one.
I know, right?
That's a bummer.
If anybody knows one, send it to Pod of No Return.
Nah.
No, Raquel, she's amazing. She can recreate anything.
Yeah.
So
legitimately, actually, she can I've just hired her to make a costume for me. I have a concert that requires a certain costume piece. It's very specific, and she's.
Are you going as Captain Underpants?
She's on it. Shh, don't tell.
Sorry. Giant diaper.
Ah, oh, God. No, I'm going to go as Dobby from Harry Potter.
Just have a sock stuck to your back.
It's the right size and everything. Yeah, exactly.
Jeremy, fun fact, Rory was staying in my apartment because she was here for Broadway Con and helping me. So I actually know what piece you're talking about when my lips are sealed.
All right.
Yes.
Yes, this client is quite the fan. We're gonna make some special things happen. It'll be cool.
Nice. Yeah.
So Raquel, what's going on with you? How have you been? I know we saw you at BroadwayCon, but we didn't really connect. I mean, we didn't hear what's going on. All the nitty gritty.
So a lot of things. Raquel apparently doesn't know how to just relax and just, you know, take some time off. So when I was at BroadwayCon, I had a table there for These Blings Do Happen, which is a jewelry line that I started right after Phantom. And everything in the jewelry line is made from authentic Phantom fabrics that were used on stage. I have chandelier beads. Speaking of Red Death, see, I even made pendants from Red Death.
That's cool.
Whoa.
Phantom suit, Christine rooftop.
Oh my gosh. Well, so to give the audience an idea of what's happening right now is we're on video as we do our recording, and she's showing us the examples, and they are amazing. But if our audience wants to see these examples, where would they go to find them?
So they can go to Etsy.com and then /these blings.
I love that.
Etsy.com/these things do happen.
These blings.
These blings do happen.
happened.
Slash dark corner slash com slash org slash yeah.
Slash yes, cool, yeah. The deep dark web. Yeah.
Slash 14573W-27849.
And then they're all gonna be there, yes. So
great.
Anyways, if you go on there, there's something for everybody. I even have some Wicked stuff up on there.
Wicked.
I'm gonna get some Anne Juliet, Phantom.
When
notes,
did you do those shows?
Anything that you could imagine.
I said, when did you do those shows?
I did.
But you auditioned for them, or Carlotta did.
I did. So that's therefore, right. I should be allowed to.
I know, right?
From there,
I know.
Yes.
That's great. That's so such a, cool. It's a great idea. Are you getting other businesses? Are they sending you other shows? Are they sending you scraps and stuff for recycling purposes and just so they don't throw them out and they get reused? And that's so great.
Well, I've just been calling literally costume shops because a Phantom, I still have a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. So if anybody has Phantom fabric, I'm like, hey, let me get those from you. I buy them from other Phantom.
Why are you staring at me, Raquel?
Well, because I know you've got a lot of it. So we'll talk after. We'll talk after that. I literally would call costume shops and I was like, hey, do you guys have anything that you're tossing that you're getting rid of? I did have to explain that I was Carlotta on Broadway because I think they thought I was just crazy, which it's partially correct. But and then yesterday I called somebody again and she said, oh, good. Because one of the people in our department said, is that girl going to come back? And I said, is that good or bad? She's like, no, that's good. So I don't know if she was telling the truth or not, but I'm going around and recycling different fabrics from different shows and putting them into patterns. So it's a really cool thing to carry around.
It is. It's quite the service too, right? Because we are trying to find ways to get the textiles used and not thrown out. And for you to repurpose them is genius.
Well, and it's interesting because you were talking about the Museum of Broadway, which I went to as well, and it's amazing. And I don't know who that Carlotta is because she is 5 pounds.
Seriously.
And really tall. I mean, it could have been Rachel Ann Moore or something.
That's a good point. Yeah, it could have been Rachel. Yes. Yeah.
And then I think that Christine may have been Megan. I don't know. They're all very tiny.
Megan's dress she's the Don Juan dress. So I know they own the orange dress somewhere, and that's Megan's. But that blue dress, I don't know. Maybe it is Megan's, but I was thinking it was Ali Ewald's. It's so tiny.
It's so tiny. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, I was especially after the pandemic, there's no way that was mine. Carlotta, nah. But that place is really, really cool. And it was interesting because I heard people talking about, their experience with Phantom as well. I wasn't as lucky as you because when we were there with Empower Voices Now, which I'll talk about in a second, they were like, this was our Carlotta. So, of course, everybody started asking questions. But the cool
thing you got stuck, right? Yeah.
Of course. And Rory was there, so of course she was like, the cape is not in the right arm, and, I think she asked if she could change
some things.
She
starts redressing
around,
it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, yep, just bring the dresser to the museum and she'll ruin everything for everyone. But the cool part is that these blinks do happen is that when people order stuff, they can write a note. And everybody has a story about how Phantom has changed their lives, So whether it's I'm giving this to a girl whose biggest dream is to be Christine, or, I watched Phantom with my grandma when I was 10 and it got me into music, or I saw you in the final cast. It's really cool because it connects me with fans too in a different way.
That's amazing.
Yeah, for sure. And you're great. You're great with the fans too. I mean, I think you're very loved by them and you're
I love them back.
Very approachable and reachable. And it's kind of great. It's that I look up to you in that manner because it's just wow, she's just, you have endless energy.
You do, and I've never, as many years as we've known you and been in the show with you, I've never seen you be in a bad mood. You know what I mean?
Do you want to talk to my boyfriend?
No, sometimes, I'm typically a friendly, in a good mood guy, but there's times you walk in that building and you're just like, I don't want to talk to anybody. And, saw that from you. You were always, regardless of what was going on, you were always still full of energy and always smiling. And living your best life. That. Maybe it's, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe it's because you're, you know, the relationship with Alexa. I need to develop mine a little bit more. I think the problem is.
I think that's the Canadian side of her, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it's because I call my Alexa Echo. And so maybe that's the difference. Maybe Echo brings out the worst in me. Because you can change its name.
You can change its name?
Oh, yes. Yes, you can. And my daughter and my son used to do it to mess with me.
Do they call Jeremy?
You can't.
You
only do like specific
things. There's like five stock names, but my kids would change the name so that I'd come home and it wouldn't work. And they think they're hilarious.
When my son was in kindergarten, his teacher, her name was Alexis. And so we would always talk about her. And so the thing would like talk to me all the time. So we had to change his name. So it's been Echo ever since. So.
Oh my God. That's brilliant.
You know what?
I think Joyce just said she calls hers computer.
Yeah. You can call it computer.
Computer.
Yeah.
That's so good.
And fun fact, if you have an Apple Watch and you call the Apple Watch Alexa, she'll go, "Ooh, I'm Siri." That's awkward. So.
Are you serious?
But will it do it in Dumbledore's voice? That's what I want to know.
I love when code writers have a sense of humor. For example, I don't know if you guys know this, but O'Reilly Auto Parts why I know this is so crazy. Yes, O'Reilly Auto Parts. If you go on to their website and you look up, you go to O'ReillyAutoParts.com or .something. And you go to their parts ordering area. When you look up part 3.21G, I'm serious. It comes up with the flux capacitor from Back to the Future. So they have that in their part stock, and it says out of stock, but it's there as just a joke, as like a little Easter egg that the writers put in there. It's so fantastic.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
That's incredible. Oh my God. So,
go ahead, Greg.
Go for it.
Oh, I was going to ask about the giant symphony concert that you just did that you didn't invite Greg or me to. We want to hear all about what we missed out. Yeah. Neat.
Alexa.
Great.
Why
hope it was successful.
To the concert.
It was public for all of you to be at, but.
Yeah, no, I saw Derek and Julia and Marie. Tell us about it. It looked gorgeous. Yeah.
It was wonderful. So my boyfriend started a wonderful orchestra called Terpsichord. And what's cool is that it's an orchestra that is composed of all of the best freelancers out there. So a lot of the people who played in the pit at Phantom were a part of the orchestra, you know, the Met Opera, they're from all over the place, but they're really world-class musicians. And so we had a concert. I'm so sorry. Next time you guys are going to be the featured ones. Though.
No, it's too late. It's too late.
With Marie Johnson, our Madame Giry, Julia Udine, who of course was our wonderful Derek Davis. Never heard of her. No, she's all right. Derek Davis, who was one of the Phantoms on the road.
Never heard of him.
We have a new guy, Joseph.
Oh yeah, Joe.
C. Townsend, who is wonderful, and he was actually in our program at Power Voices last year, and we discovered him and thought, oh my God, this man's amazing. So he was one of our young artists. Carlton Moe, of course, my trusty Pianji, and myself, and my boyfriend Carmine Alfiero was the conductor of the whole thing, and we kind of did a crossover between Broadway and opera, trying to make it more accessible. So we did Fledermaus, we did Phantom, we did Cats, we did West Side Story. So it was a really, really great thing, and a lot of Phantom fans came out, which was really fun, and people came up to us afterwards and just, you know, talked about how much they missed the show. And it was very emotional listening to, especially the Phantom stuff, for the first time again with an orchestra, because a lot of us hadn't even heard it closed.
Yeah. Now, tell me.
Very cool. Congratulations.
I don't know. And maybe it means something and maybe it doesn't. So Terpsichord, what is that? What does that word mean?
Terpsichord, I should ask Carmine. It's a Greek. I know that it's Greek mythology. Carmine. What does Terpsichore stand for? Where did the name come from?
There it is.
Oh, it's one of the muses.
It's one of the nine muses.
Yes, and we tweaked the name to make it look cool.
It look cool.
And got it.
As in cord.
And then the D was added as in the word
cord.
Gotcha,
Terpsichore. Nice.
Success. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Very well done.
But it's very cool because it's an orchestra that can be kind of modified in any way. So it's like pick and choose. It's like an a la carte. It's like a restaurant menu. You know, you can say, I want this event, maybe you're getting married or, you know, whatever you need the event for, different symphonies. I want this many people to play. I want these singers. They can hire both of you. You could have a whole concert by yourself with Terpsichore. I mean, the world is
yours. Oh, that's really great. Especially, you know, if you're somebody like you're a big fan of string instruments, you can just, you know, have more string. And
exactly. I'm an expert when it comes to instrumental music.
You are?
So.
Good. Good, yeah.
And the concert was on my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. I'm 22 now.
Finally. Oh, fantastic. Oh, welcome. Welcome to adulthood.
I didn't know you were only 5 years younger than me. That's great.
I know.
That's crazy.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't want to be 22 again. You guys can have it.
Oh, man. I would take it. Physically, I would take it.
Would you really?
I think it's better as you get older.
Yeah, because I would take it. If I still had all the same stuff I had now, too, though. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you'd have to have the knowledge of now and then and then the youth factor. Oh, yeah, well, that's not fair.
Oh, that would actually be great.
I will say now, we weren't in this concert with you, but you have always been so good to stay in touch with us, and you've used both Jeremy and I in that previous, you did like a Phantom of the Opera with fans, and you used both of us to come in on different concerts. Jeremy did one, and then I filled in, I think, another time. And that was a blast. And that was such an amazing event to like be able to get up there and sing stuff from the show that we haven't sung in a while, but then also sing it with fans who, you know, are surprisingly talented and did a great job. And just, you know, I think it meant the world to them. And it was a blast for us as well. And just seeing their
and they sing with their whole heart.
I mean, it just gave
very cool.
Everything. And it was just wonderful. And that was all you. You put it together.
You know, I realized through Empower Voices, we put some fantasy camps together. Just like, you know, they do this in football and, you know, in sports. But for some reason, when it comes to the arts, oftentimes there's kind of this disconnect or, you know, it's a little bit more difficult, I think, to get to perform with, you know, the people that you look up to, right? And I guess that's in sports too, but I know people pay a ton of money to go to these fantasy camps, right? So this is a really cool way for young singers, and even some people were just like actors and some people were just purely fans who wanted to get up there to sing with the people that they've watched in this iconic show on stage. And I know that they were all losing it when you guys would come and, you know, do Music of the Night and, you know, Point of No Return. And it's something I think that people will cherish, you know, for the rest of their lives. We kind of get used to seeing each other probably, you know, so we're like, oh, there's Greg, there's Jeremy, there's Carl, there's, you know, but we forget what an honor it is to perform with each other every single day, or we performed with each other every single day. And that, you know, people in the audience their lives are often, you know, changed just by watching the show. So that was a really cool thing. We're going to have more of that coming up.
So you have more planned, you have more fantasy camps planned? Are you going to do
absolutely
other shows, or is it strictly Phantom?
No, we're going to do other shows as well. So we'll do another Phantom one because a lot of people are asking about it. We went through the entire show, and then different people would sing Christine, Raoul, Phantom, and then you guys would sing those parts as well. Elizabeth Welch obviously was there as well as the fabulous Christine Daae, and I did the Carlotta parts, although every time there was a Carlotta, that was it. I was bumped out. So we're going to have more Phantom fantasy concerts, but then also different shows. We want to do Wicked. We want to do Hamilton. We want to do West Side Story. There's so many great shows out there, and so many wonderful performers who want to be able to connect with their fans. So stay tuned.
That's awesome. Cool. That's really, really awesome.
That is awesome. So you've got These Blings Do Happen, you've got Terpsichord, and you have Empower Voices. And are those three separate websites?
Terpsichord is not actually mine. So Terpsichord.
But you work with Terpsichord doing these.
I do.
The fantasy concerts. So yeah.
Yes.
Excellent.
And then I have Empower Voices. I'm crazy.
Next stop is world domination. I think.
Yeah, basically. That's seriously. Be on the good side of Raquel Suarez Groon, because.
No, I have to ask. I know.
And now I'm going to work for.
That's
Alexa,
right. Exactly. So. I'm surprised they haven't done some sort of partnership with you yet. Hello.
Come on.
They should
guys.
At least get your. Amazon. Yeah, these blings do happen. Need to be, you know, right up there on Amazon, so you could just be a doop 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 doop. Yeah, that would be amazing.
You could be like, I want Red Death. And they're like, oh, no, it's in your heart.
I want a necklace made out of Josu Bouquet's skin. You know, something like that.
Yeah.
fans at home, we do have some of that flesh. No, just kidding. We don't.
we're going to come out with the Greg Mills undershirt. Undershirt jewelry.
No, you won the undershirt award, Jeremy. Jeremy always had some sort of we wore white t-shirts or black t-shirts. Jeremy always had something, you know, a white t-shirt on that had been sharpied with some clever, you know,
some saying
on there. Overstudy, you know, instead of understudy.
Some joke overstudy.
Know. Yeah. You know.
Wait.
See, I didn't know that. That's cool.
You didn't? Oh. You Nork City.
You stole one of my shirts and wrote something on it. And I can't remember what it was, but
my favorite one was Pizza Face.
Pizza Face.
I had Pizza Face, or my girlfriend's boyfriend is rich.
Yeah, you had that one. I remember.
OG.
I wanted to write Body by Play-Doh on mine, but
Body by Play-Doh.
But now, Raquel, I know we're talking about your you know, your companies and all these things you're doing. What got you into, now I know you were an amazing singer and you do opera and all that. What got you into auditioning? How did your Phantom audition happen? Unlike Megan Picerno, who just,
oh,
who just gets the job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She just does an audition.
Hey, you off
not,
the
not
street.
The job. No, Megan got three jobs from that. She got three.
If you're listening,
because
Megan.
She'd,
we'll have you on an episode real soon.
Share the love.
None of us are bitter. It's totally fine. Yes. Yeah, so actually, fun fact, Megan and I went to school together. We have a long history going back to Manhattan School of Music. And so did Carl.
So Megan got you this job too.
Yes, Megan did.
Oh, so four. So four. Okay, great.
Like, I will only be Christine if Raquel.
Amazing.
So... Yeah. I started in opera, went to Manhattan School of Music, and I was like, I'm going to be an opera singer, and that's it. Musical theater is lame, because that's what I was taught. Like, you know, you do one or the other. And then I went in for an audition for an opera company, and I came out, and they were like, have you ever thought about doing musical
and
theater?
Like,
and I thought that was the most offensive thing anyone ever said to me. I can't sing. Now I know that was like the opposite of that, but, I thought, you know what, that is more of my personality, you know, like I started in musical theater as a, you know, teenager. So I was like, why not? And so I got my agent was also had a musical theater roster thing just opened, and they were like, we're going to get you to audition for, it was a cruise line, and we're going to need you to sing some Dusty Springfield. Well, okay. Raquel could not sing it because it was like, Billy Ray was a preacher. So I had to go and learn how to mix and belt, because it was just like, what is wrong with my voice? I sounded like I was, you know, 79 years old, and just, it was terrible. So I started studying with Joan later, who for the first 6 weeks didn't let me sing anything. She just had me talk. And I, after that, started learning how to use my voice in different ways. So I got an audition for Phantom. about a year later, and I had seen the production in Las Vegas, and I was like, Carlotta freaking is awesome because she's an opera singer in a musical theater show. Hello, best of both worlds. And she's a badass. So, you know, that was always one of the ones that I was like, I would love to do it. So I auditioned, I got a call back, but I didn't get the job. I had already visualized it, you know, it's like, what would it feel like once I got the job? Well, didn't work. But the amazing Trista Moldovan, who was the Christine cover, I believe, right, in the Broadway production, she went on to do the Carlotta on the road. So the next year I auditioned again because they were looking for a cover for Trista. And I auditioned and I sang this really hard opera aria, which was a big mistake. And the pianist and I were not together. And I continued singing while he stopped playing. And I apologized for the piece I brought in, and I think he thought it meant that I thought he couldn't play. So it was not a good moment. And I think his exact words were, well, if you didn't do so much rubato, it would have been fine.
He got a little testy testicle.
Oh, yeah, he was mad. So my agent called, had talked to the people who were casting the tour. And they actually said to them, you know, I don't think this is for Raquel. She'll never be a Carlotta. She should stick with opera. She's not meant to be in the musical theater world. And my agent said, well, can she take some of the classes you're offering? And they said, well, if it's to be Carlotta, it's a waste of her time. So,
wow.
Perfect. But Raquel, being Raquel, I was like, you know what? Like, if it's meant for me, it will be mine. And if it's not, fine. Like, something
you can go back and sing Dusty Springfield stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Or I could, like, you know, go back to the other 42 jobs I had at that time. So I made a vision board and I'd put my name on it. And every year I had to scratch out like the new year. You know, it was like 2015, 2016. You know, every time it didn't happen, I had to put in a new starting date. So the year later, they were auditioning for the Broadway show. And I thought, well, if I can't get into the tour, why the heck would I get into the Broadway show? And they said, well, I think you should just go in. It's actually a different casting team for the Broadway show. And at that point, I kind of thought, who cares? Like, I'm just going to go do it, have fun, and whatever. Which is usually when you get the job.
Yeah, generally.
And I did it. And Kristen Blodgett, I remember Kristen was there. Kristen Blodgett, our amazing Kristen Blodgett. Seth Sklarhane was there. Polly Baird, who I now run, you know, a program with, was there. And I did my audition. And they said, can you not be so mean this time when you do these things to happen? So I dived down. They were like, thank you so much. I left the room. And they actually came out about 5 minutes later and asked me to come in again. And we did a little work-in session. So I left and I worked for Renee Fleming at the time, who's a very famous opera singer. I went back to the office. But I always had to get a burger after my audition at Five Guys.
Heck yeah.
So I got my burger, went back to my work, and I got a callback. And it said, your callback, yes. They said the callback is going to be taped for Andrew Lloyd Webber, David Caddick, Hal Prince, you know, it was, and Cameron McIntosh.
Never heard of these people.
Nah, they're small players in the field. So I went back the next day and I did it. I auditioned for it. And it just felt like, I don't know if you guys felt like this when you auditioned for the show. I don't remember a single thing that happened. I just kind of walked out after and thought, I have no idea how that went. So 3 weeks later, I got a call from my agent and she said, are you sitting down?
Uh-oh.
And I was in the subway and I was like, ah, oh my God, because I had just been told that morning that I did not book another show. And so I went out and she said, are you ready for this? And before she could even say it, I was like ugly crying in the street. And I was like in some random part of town. I don't even know where I was. And she said, you're going to be the Carlotta for the 30th anniversary. So that was a crazy ride because it was 3 years of being told I would never be Carlotta. I would never be in the show. And these were my people who were like on the casting team, you know.
Were they mean about it? It sounds mean.
Yeah, no, they were not. Like, I think that, you know, this particular person who was casting just did not like me very much. And that's okay. That's going to happen.
Casting agency, I've not known to be nasty, which is interesting,
no,
or snippety.
Not at all.
I had the same thing. They told me the same thing.
They told me I didn't have a good enough voice to be in Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
Oh,
I wasn't legit enough of a singer. That's what they told my my agent.
Like, wow.
Yeah, I was told for my agents to not submit me anymore because I wasn't the right type for the show.
Hello. That's
2 years later,
you're going to say they also told me I would never be Carlotta. Yeah. I was waiting for the.
So you never know. I mean, you never know what happens.
Yeah. Well,
for sure.
I think it's a good lesson for young singers to know that, like, not one person's opinion is going to shape your career. So, you know, you may not be right for one person, or they may not think that, you know, you fit in, but somebody else will. So to not take it all too seriously and just to keep working on yourself.
Exactly.
Totally.
Yeah.
But
that's amazing.
Casting directors' jobs now are to keep people out and not to pull people in. It used to be to find people. Now it's to keep people out because there's just too many. And sometimes they're very good at that.
Yes.
So it's...
Well, and as Polly Baird says in our Empower Voices program, she said, an audition is not a place to gain confidence because it's literally to lower the numbers, right? It's like to get rid of people.
Yeah.
So it's not a place to build confidence. It's a place where literally you go, you sing, and it's their job to cut down, you know, from 100 to like the top 5.
Yeah. That's great advice. Nice job, Polly. Like
and for those that don't know, Polly Baird was the dance captain for Phantom of the Opera and an amazing ballerina and just an amazing human. And she works with you in Power Voices.
She's gold.
And she ended up being the assistant production supervisor, right?
That's correct.
That was her.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Nice. And very good at it. I don't know if you know this, Raquel. We posted online that you were going to appear on the Pod of No Return. And we... gave the opportunity for people to ask questions, and some questions came in. Actually, I will take that back. A lot of questions came in.
Really?
Wow. We'd like to fire some of those at you right now. Maybe
sound effect.
Yeah, exactly. Not the long answers, but the fun answers, I guess we could say. And then I think that we would like to test you. Greg and I test each other often about, we like to call it synopsis. And we'll give you the title of a show that's coming or it doesn't happen. And you have to tell us what that show's about.
Preferably one
made up. Yeah, exactly.
Made up. Okay.
Yeah. You have to give us, based on the title and some of the artwork you've seen of it, give us
this
your
a little,
best
a
guess.
A little backstory. This happened when Jeremy and I were kind of doing a Tony Awards announcement kind of episode. And, you know, with us all being in shows at the time, we did not get a chance to see a lot of the shows. So we were just giving our best guess at what we thought was going to win, you know, which play might win. And most of these were for plays because none of us saw any of the plays. So we would read the title and then we would kind of guess from the title what the show was about, even though we had not
seen it
or had any idea. And then typically Joyce would look up what the show was actually about and we realized that we were very wrong and sometimes very offensive. So
offensively wrong at times. Yeah, that's right. Including just even pronunciating the title.
So this should be fun.
I'm so ready.
And while we're asking you these questions, Joyce is going to come up with a list of upcoming shows and things we're going to get a synopsis from you. But
okay. Done.
These are great questions. What was it like in the wings during the overture? And I have to improve this question because it says it's in the wings, but you weren't in the wings. You were on stage. What was it like? What was the process? I was there. I know what it's like because I played Pianji a few times poorly, but I did it. And I know.
God, you're one of the best Pianjis.
Oh, come on. Stop it some more. So I know what it was like, but describe it. What was it like waiting in on stage in the Not Wings?
So it always kind of felt like I was being shot out of a cannon, and every show was slightly different, but I was like you said, on stage behind one of the curtains, holding my severed head. And it would really depend on kind of the day, but it never, I never forgot how iconic it was to be able to start the show. I was the first person to start singing. And so it always felt like being shot out of a cannon. That to me was the hardest part of the show because, one, there's no orchestra underneath you once you start. And also the orchestra is playing everything in a different key than what my starting note is. So I sometimes wouldn't even be able to like listen to all of the overture because it would go da-da-da-dum and my note would be
You still know it. Like, I love it.
Yeah, it didn't fit in. So I had like my little pitch pipe. I'd be like, trying to listen to it. But it always felt like so iconic. And it was fun because backstage there were all the lights going and people were dancing behind the curtains and
getting warmed up.
Going on. One time, my fabulous hairdresser had forgotten to put in my mic. So during the overture, all of a sudden, like halfway through, I realized I had no mic on. So there was that going on. But it was very cool. It was like getting shot out of a cannon.
Or like on the closing shows when the audience decided to applaud and scream through all of it, and you're like, I don't know where we are.
What's the pitch? Yeah. What's the pitch?
And the worst part with that cadenza is if you start too high, you're screwed. But if you start too low, you're screwed too. And I remember that, like, that the last show for the audience, they were screaming so loud. And I was like, and I don't know what the heck happened. I think it was like, I started on this, like, ridiculous high note. And
IQ.
I don't know how I made it.
And everybody was off. Everybody was off stage, too. And, like, wait, that's because we all know, you know, we hear it so much. We're like, oh, my God, she is through the roof. And everybody's, like, watching, like, dear God, she's still saying it. She's still saying it, you know, a fifth too high or whatever it was. It was unbelievable.
And the crazy part was I started it and I recognized it was way too high. So I stopped. And then I restarted on the exact same note. So it was like, this. And I was like, no, that's not correct. And then I still went,
no, ride or die. Yeah.
It was terrifying. Oh, my God.
All the dogs in the neighborhood went, oh, well, she's going to go for that, huh? All
right. No, wait. With the,
I wonder if they can hear it.
I ended up on like a queen of the night by us. I don't know.
With your pitch pipe, would you just like tuck it into your dress or would you like hurl it off stage at your dresser?
Take it.
Both is possible. Take it. No, I actually had it in my opera box, which is my cleavage in my in my brassiere.
Opera box.
That's not cleavage. That's
I love it.
I kept it in my opera box. I also kept many other things like cough drops, all sorts of things that would fall off on that would fall out.
Oh Lord!
Yeah,
I can tell you for the start of the show, Greg and I can. We had the pleasure of having. When we were Greg and I, when we were on as the Phantom, had the pleasure of sitting under your warm-ups and your different techniques and roll-offs and squeaks and things. It was very funny because we have a window in common, so we would hear it going down. We're like, all right, she's on today. Okay, here we go. There we go.
But I also did them during the overture. So like if the overture would stop, you would hear all of us going.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, please tell me. But when I wasn't on and I was sitting up in my dressing room, I could hear even with the overture going, I could hear all the people, all the sopranos doing all their. From my dressing room, three flights up behind a steel door. I'm like, good Lord, people.
That's right.
Oh my God, that's so funny. No, we think it was like very conspicuous. I know, right? I'm like, oh, it's so loud, nobody can hear us.
Yeah.
But it is. Oh, you go out into the audience, you don't hear it. But off stage, oh my God.
It's horrible. Like a dying cat.
It's one thing that I wish I recorded just for shits and giggles, man. That would have been the greatest. Who is your favorite Phantom character, Passerino? What in the show?
Swing.
That
Swing.
You could think of Passerino.
Passerino.
Oh, good. That's great.
I feel like that answer was so random. I don't know.
So random.
Random that you picked Passerino.
I love Passerino. What can I say? I mean, just
the
all
tights,
of
the hair, the lack of mustache with a beard. Oh, it's just great.
See? What is your favorite Broadway musical? Sorry?
You really think Passerino's her favorite? Come on.
Yeah. Hello?
Oh, okay. All right, great. All right. Moving on.
What is my favorite
other than
musical?
Phantom?
I love, she loves
Aww, me. Yay.
Aww.
I think that's a fabulous, fabulous show. I also love Wicked.
Yeah, you
if
do.
If you're out there listening to us, yes, I'd be Mrs. Marble in a second. Yeah. And also, like, any of those classics, you know, Carousel when it was on Broadway, Music Man. Yeah. I'm a sucker for the old, you know, old-time shows.
For the classics. Yeah, yeah. Totally.
The classics. Yes.
Yeah. This is a good one. What is some advice you would give to a young, ambitious singer? Or what is the one piece of it? One piece. Okay, you get one. Uh-oh. What is the one piece of advice you would wish to give? Wish? Oh, my gosh. This is a loaded question. Here we go. You'd wish to give your younger, ambitious self? The silence.
One, that it's all going to be okay. It's going to turn out okay. And number two, just to be myself. I think for a long time, I didn't know what that meant. I was so busy being presentational and trying to be perfect. That I don't, when people were like, just show who you are, I was like, I don't know who the heck that is. And so I think as young people, we're always trying to fit in, you know, that's like our big goals to fit in. But ultimately what gets us hired is what is unique to us and what makes us different. So just to be confident in who I was, you know, like I loved being funny and I loved just, yeah, being silly and kind of, not fitting in. And I think for a long time, I was just trying to be very perfect. And it came across very stiff and boring and all of the things that I think I'm not now. So be yourself and it's all going to be okay.
So just let your freak flag wave.
Let your freak flag just wave around.
That's a line in Shrek. What makes us special or what makes us different is what makes us special. So.
It is true. And I think it's hard. Like you hear it all the time. Just show us who you are. And it's like, that's easier said than done, you know, sometimes.
Yeah.
But once you find it, it's very liberating.
Very good.
All right. Next question. What's your favorite line as Carlotta?
And can you do it as Carlotta, please?
Have you seen the size of
Hello.
My
Oh my God.
Marie said I should make a shirt that says, have you seen the size of my pod?
Oh, jeez.
And of course, these things do happen.
Yeah, these things do happen. Of course. What's your favorite costume?
That's hard. I think prima donna.
Yeah, it's a really nice costume.
I do love your, I love your masquerade, though. So I love the bat.
Masquerade is very, yeah, it's very
The iconic. Bat lady.
Also an animal. They're all pretty.
Yours are all.
Yeah.
I have so many photos of all of them. They're all so good.
I want them. I know. You know what? For these blinks to happen, I guess it's a podcast, so it doesn't matter, but I actually used one of your photos, and you're credited, of course, on the back, for the autographs that I include.
Oh, so, that's cool.
Greg Nels, you are a part of my business. So you didn't even know.
I'll take 10%, please.
I'm done.
What is your favorite opera?
I love Fille de Regiment, and I also love La Traviata.
That's the one. Is that the one with the Traviata. Anvil choir? I don't.
No, it's Verdi.
I don't know. I'm not an opera guy.
La Traviata is a libiamo, libiamo nella cica, licica la bellezza. Yeah.
That's. I should do a synopsis of operas because that you know.
You should. Hey, that would be a whole other show.
Gosh.
It'd be so funny.
Yeah.
Team Phantom or Team Raoul?
Come on, girl.
What's the thought process?
Well, listen. I mean, it has to be, I guess, Team Phantom.
Doesn't have to be.
As Carlotta, he's not very nice to me. No. But I would, yes, Team Phantom.
He is not very nice to you. It's true.
Now, so as Carlotta, Team Raoul, but as Raquel, Team Phantom.
All right, last question. Currently, what songs are on your Spotify playlist?
I'm not this cool. I'm trying to really be cool with the kids and listen to a lot of Taylor Swift because I don't know anything from Taylor
She's so
Swift.
Hot right now.
So I
She's so hot right now.
Taylor Swift is so hot.
She's on my list. I'm also a big Meghan Trainor fan. But I'm not that cool. I would say those are kind of like my two. Like if I tell Alexa to play music, it's Meghan Trainor.
Yeah, well, when she...
Oh, Adele. Yeah. I love Adele.
I was going to say, if you tell her to play music, what's the first song that comes on? Because then we all know what you listen to the most.
I don't know. Should we try?
Let's see.
Alexa, play some music.
Amazon music.
What is it? Opera?
Wow.
Oh, we can't hear it. What is it? Can you hear it? I can't hear it.
A chord. Not a terpsichord, but a chord.
Oh, not a terpsichord.
It's an orchestral piece. Oh, no, it's Renee Fleming.
Ah, see? Of course.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah. And now we're all going to get...
When I leave for my animals.
We're all going to have advertisements for Renee Fleming CDs on our, on our Instagram feeds. Because we spoke of it.
When I leave, I always play it for my cat.
And what is your cat's, okay. cat's name? That's
Luigi.
Right. So you have...
Yes. Luigi and Leo is my dog.
Leo the dog, dressed as Piaggi for the
Leo
Broadway
the dog.
Con.
Yes. Exactly.
All right, Jeremy, did you find a...
Here we go. There's a couple of new shows coming. One of them is... The poster's crazy, and it's so fun. It looks like it's Jaws. But it's called The Shark is Broken. What is the play... The Shark is Broken about?
So The Shark is Broken is a really great story.
Is it?
It's about a woman who had one of the vacuums, shark, the vacuum sharks.
Oh, yes.
Shark vacuum.
I have one of those.
Yes. And she, when she was young, used to talk to vacuums. And she, kind of like Ted... The vacuum comes to life and helps her suck up all of the bad things that are going on in her life. So it's a very touching story about a young girl and her
No, is the vacuum a male voice or a female voice? What would the voice sound like? The shark.
The voice is... it's actually a boy. Okay. It's a young boy voice, yes. Because we're trying to go away from... You know, the stereotypes of what sharks are.
Right, gotcha. So this play sucks.
Taking a more Bruce approach.
I mean, one of the songs is called I Am Your Shark, and it's iconic. I mean, you should listen to it. It's really, really good.
So it's a musical. I like this.
I will always be your shark, yeah.
I love you for that synopsis. That is just all kinds of awesome crazy.
I heard there was another
perfect.
Song that they're not sure if they're going to cut it or not, but it's called It Sucks to Be Me. And it's the
yes.
shark's big the big solo.
Or I suck, but in a good way.
All right, I got one more for you.
I suck, but in a good way.
So there is Leslie Odom Jr. is in a new show, and it's if you look at the title too quickly, it looks like Purple Victorious, but it's actually Purely Victorious. What is Purely Victorious about?
Purely Victorious is about a young boy who is looking for a better future. Mm-hmm. And he actually goes back in time, similar to Back to the Future.
Gotcha.
And he goes back in time in the 1800s when he was purely victorious. And he's trying to refine that back in his life. So that he can learn from his ancestors and become, again, purely.
And what does he, what device does he use to go back in time with? Is he like a time machine? Not a DeLorean.
A vacuum. No, he uses the shark
vacuum.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, the shark
vacuum. Yes, he goes with the shark vacuum.
Yeah, it's because the 3.21G part is out of stock at O'Reilly Marketplace.
The third show is going to be added.
Yeah.
And they're all going to be like, you got to watch part one and then part two. Yes. The vacuum sucks him up and he goes back in time. That's how that goes.
Oh, my God.
So it's purely victorious until the shark is broken.
Yeah. Yes. And then, yes, the shark, they forget the cord to plug it in because it's, they didn't have electricity.
And now would that be a terpsichord?
Right. A terpsichord.
A Terpsichore.
The circle of life.
Well done. You're just giving Greg all kinds of material. Oh, Lord. All right. Raquel, nice job.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for coming on. And thank you for telling us about these blings do happen.
We'll have to look them up on Etsy.
Terpsichore concerts.
Find them on Etsy. Hopefully soon to be Amazon. We'll put that out there.
Yes. And then empower voices about your school and fantasy camps and all the beautiful things that you're doing for the people who love the shows and who want to be singers. And I know that you have a Carlotta. There's a girl who sings Carlotta music that I've seen posted, and she can wail. That girl is insane.
Yes. Lindsay Orr. Yes.
Yes.
You've got a lot of, I've worked with the Empower Voices a couple times, either taking pictures or, you know, do some of the classes.
Teaching. Yes.
And they're great. Sometimes they're, you know, people we've never met before, and they're incredibly talented, and they're just so excited to be there. And sometimes they're phantom fans that we have met previously, and you're like, oh my God, you're incredibly talented as well. And to see the growth they get, and just the confidence that that you guys get from them it's amazing.
Well, that's the one thing that I love with the program is because I think nerves don't get talked about a lot, like, and stage fright and anxiety, and that was like a huge part of, you know, my
right, because you have somebody that works with you that deals with like anxiety and she's amazing.
Yes, we have a psychotherapist named Dana Guerrero, and she's wonderful, and she helps students deal with, you know, kind of the voices that go on in your head when you perform. Like, you open your mouth, you're like, okay, that sucked, okay, that high note sucked, okay, oh God, this is coming up, you know. Or people who've had like terrible experiences, people telling them they weren't good enough, or, you know, and those are things we carry with us. I mean, I had a lot of that stuff, and I even at one point a phantom had a panic attack on stage, like during Il Muto, you know.
Wow.
And it's common that we deal with nerves and anxiety because we're people, and it just doesn't get talked about. It's almost kind of one of those things that I think sometimes we think we should be ashamed of. And so we really help people deal with that. But it's very cool because, you know, even there was a young girl who sang for all of us when we walked out at stage door at one point, and she's 14 and sings opera, and she just recently did our summer program. So it's like, how else would somebody like that get to connect with us, you know, in such a cool way. So, and she actually sang, I think, with Jeremy, Lila.
Yes.
Yes. So it's a very, it's very important to talk about those things and, you know, not just to focus on the singing and the acting, but also what's going on psychologically. Yeah. As we all know.
You are a champion of our industry.
You really are.
I really appreciate you. Yes.
Thanks
for your time today. It's so good to see you, first of all.
Well, I love you both very much.
We miss you too. Love you.
Miss you too.
And I think we need to have another upcoming concert.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
With the two of them. Yes.
Perfect. And for those of you who are listening, if you want to check out Coeli 2000 and see the Amazon, the Alexa series and the audition series, please do that. And I'd like to remind you to go on to your socials and interact and like, share. Also go on to, now Alexa's talking to me right now. See what we
playing
did?
Playing Dusty Springfield.
Thank you, Alexa. Yes. Exactly. Go on to your socials and give us a review. Talk to us. Give us some suggestions. Tell us if you like the show. Go on to your podcast and please give us an evaluation. Rate us. So right now we have 5-star rating, which I'm loving to have. I would love to keep that going.
Thanks, Mom and Dad.
If you can, thanks, Mom. Thanks, me. But thank you for doing that in advance, and thank you for the people who already have. And until next time, thanks for coming to the, thanks for listening to the Pod of No Return.
See ya.
Have a good day.